Israel, Am in Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Gideon Goes to War, was written by Stephen Gethers and is based on the book of the same name by Leonard Mosley, published by Charles Scribner's Sons. It is presented in observance of the 9th anniversary of Israel Independence Day.
From Mount Tabor, it is possible even for an unbeliever to look out and be moved by spiritual and religious emotion. For all around is the land of the Bible, and it is a shining land. And the atmosphere, redolent with history and legend, is thick in your nostrils as you look at it. And it is impossible not to find it beguiling and disturbing. For Ord Wingate, it was a dream of childhood come true. Ord Wingate, seeing the landscape of his Bible coming to life, was a convinced Zionist for the rest of his existence. And from the moment of his revelation, he made no secret of the fact that he would help the Jews to win their independent state, even if it meant fighting other enemies of Zion besides the Arabs.
Gentlemen, I've joined your staff of headquarters, British Forces, here in Jerusalem as intelligence officer. I've been here several days. Now, what am I supposed to do?
Do?
Yes, sir.
There's very little to do here, Captain Wingate, but it's not what you'd call an unpleasant sort of life. We still try to observe the various social amenities of our mother country. When possible, the wives of our officers take tea together. There are dances.
Well, I'm afraid that hardly falls under the duties of intelligence, Colonel.
Huh?
He's been here too short a time, sir. When the captain has been indoctrinated for 2 or 3 months and sees the impossibility of the situation, I'm sure he'll be perfectly willing to join the throng of ladies at afternoon tea.
May I ask a question?
Certainly, Captain.
Whose side are we on?
We are on the British side.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't you know?
And on whose side are the British?
Captain Wingate, at first I found you rather amusing. Now I fear you're being dreadfully zealous about the situation. Let me make it clear to you, sir. We are here to maintain peace between two sides, the Arabs and the Jews. This is 1936, Captain Wingate. I needn't tell you of the past history of this area. It's been tense, and we've managed to relieve that tension.
How, sir?
By minding our own business. We shall continue to act accordingly. Remember that. Huh. Is there anything else?
Yes, sir. Long before I reached Palestine, I knew what the Jews were seeking. I understood what they needed, sympathized with their aims, and knew they were right. This is not a personal conviction, Colonel. It is based on fact, legal fact. Palestine is a British mandate under the League of Nations, dedicating us to create a national Jewish homeland. It is my belief, sir, as a soldier, that every man must proclaim his allegiance when there are opposing sides.
You're very right, Captain. Proclaim your allegiance to whomever you wish, as long as it is England.
But Captain Wingate was a man who searched for truth, and soldier or civilian, a man who searches for truth proclaims his own allegiance. That night, Ord C. Wingate drove across Mount Carmel, stopped outside a block of flats, doused the lights of the car, and went inside. It was his first evening out in Palestine. He was to remember it for the rest of his life.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You must have the wrong
address. I have the right address. Is your husband at home?
No, sir.
Is someone for me, my dear?
Come in, please.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, Captain.
Good evening, Mr. Wilansky.
This is my wife, Captain Wingate.
Well, you do a good job. You even have my name.
Especially your name. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Would you care for a drink? Whiskey and soda, perhaps?
An excellent British concoction.
Oh, whiskey is universal, Captain. As universal as people taste. What can I do for you?
I've seen your face in the files at GHQ. Tell me the truth now. Is it a fact that you are chief intelligence officer for the Haganah?
You mustn't believe everything you hear.
You don't need to play diplomatic games with me. Why are you afraid? Why don't you say what you are?
I'm not afraid to say what I am. I'm a Jew.
Then tell me, Mr. Wilansky, do you believe in a Zionist state? In an independent state of Israel?
I'm not afraid of answering that. Yes, I do.
You do. But do you know what it means? Do you Jews realize that you will have to fight for your independence?
I think, Captain Wingate, that we do.
But fight. I mean fight, a bloody struggle. There will be no free Palestine for the Jews unless you fight.
Well, fighting is just a small part of it, my friend. We cannot fight until we're sure we can win.
And how do you propose to do that?
If I could answer that, we would be fighting now.
I would like to teach you, Mr. Wilansky. I would like to teach you how to fight, and then I should like to lead you.
Why?
It seems too simple to say that I arrived in Palestine a convinced Zionist, but it happens to be the truth.
Your whiskey and soda, Captain.
The Haganah knew that British policy was against an independent Jewish state. They knew that Wingate was an intelligence officer, and they watched him, not knowing whether they were being goaded or tricked. It took just a little while before they discovered that Ord Wingate was sincere. As one member of the Haganah remarked, he had the smell of a soldier about him. For 18 months, Wingate passed up the teas and the dances and did what he had come to Palestine to do. There was little equipment, but he used what he had. He trained the Haganah. And finally, with his friend Svi Brenner, he put it to its first test. He took a 7-man patrol, went off into the darkness. The other men waited for his signal.
That's it.
What's taking so long?
Remember what he said, Dan. They don't expect an attack from us. Let them pass until they're surrounded. Then we will open fire.
Ah.
Patience, my friend.
They look for him.
They will not find him.
Svi!
Trust him. He will get away.
He should be back by now.
He is back by now.
Where did you come from?
Shh. They approach. Are the others ready?
They've been ready for years.
Not ready, Dayan. Eager. Now let us show these people that the night does not belong to the Arabs alone. Fire!
Fire!
It was well into the morning when they got back. Filthy, badly scratched, exhausted, but triumphant. They were home. But Jerusalem was also the home of British Army headquarters.
For Wingate to deliberately flaunt British policy, to take the Jews into action and encourage them to infiltrate, to fight, when he knows that they must defend themselves only inside their settlements. To do it without permission?
Your man's insane. I can't understand how General Wavell has allowed him to remain here. And I don't think he will for long.
Are you serious, Wingate? Are you trying to start an all-out war?
We have started nothing, General Wavell.
We?
You forget you're a British officer.
Yes, sir, I'm a British officer who was sent to do a job. I'm doing that job as I see fit.
But not as I see fit, and there are still channels of command.
The Arab rebellion is growing worse, sir. Why must a man be allowed only to defend himself? If he must defend, that means he's being attacked, in which case it is his right to counterattack.
But you can't keep peace by going out in patrols, by shooting up the perimeter.
This is not fighting, sir. This is fighting back.
Blast you, Wingate, if you don't sound like a Gideon in British uniform.
Thank you, sir.
I was not complimenting you. I was merely making an observation.
Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel.
What?
Gideon, sir. That's what he said. It's in the Bible.
Captain, I sent you to Palestine because I thought you were the best man for the job.
Then trust me, sir. I have a plan.
Very well. But make it good, Captain. And in the process of saving Israel, I advise you not to destroy the British Empire.
When Wingate returned to headquarters, the staff officers were surprised to see him. They were certain that General Wavell would never allow him to come back to Palestine. As he entered, there was silence for a moment, and then...
Colonel. Isn't that Wingate, sir?
Wingate? It couldn't be. I understood. Yes, it is Wingate.
What the devil's he doing back here?
Captain Wingate reporting, sir.
What? Oh, yes, yes, of course. Well, Wingate, how did you make out?
I'm leaving, sir.
Oh. Well, that's too bad, Wingate. Sorry to lose you.
Yes, indeed. Sorry to lose you, Wingate.
Thank you, sir.
When are you going?
Tomorrow morning.
That soon?
Yes, sir.
By ship?
No, sir. Truck.
Truck?
Yes, sir. I'm posted at Ain Harod.
Ain Harod?
Along with the volunteers who wish to go with me.
Is this a joke?
No, sir. It's all here in the order, sir.
Well, surely you don't think any of our men would volunteer?
I think they will. With your permission, sir, I should like to call for a formation.
Wingate, you're a magician.
Or a madman.
They were to find out which almost immediately. The enlisted men were told to fall in at the company area. The colonel and the major assembled the staff to observe what their problem child was about to do.
Hold it! Assemble, sir!
Thank you, Sergeant. Stand easy. Gentlemen, I'm looking for volunteers. With the permission of General Wavell, I am proceeding to Ain Harod to form the Haganah into a fighting unit. And I need men. As many as I can muster. Questions?
You mean we're going to help the Jews, sir?
I mean exactly that. First volunteer.
An auspicious beginning.
I wish Wavell were here to see this.
It would mean less spit and polish and more action. It means doing what you were sent here to do. You joined to fight, all right, I'm giving you the opportunity. Volunteer!
I'm rather enjoying this.
You will be dressed in blue shirts, linen trousers, and gym shoes, and be mixed with the settlement members. You will be equipped with rifles, hand grenades, a water bottle, and a pole on the end of which a torch could be tied. In this way, since your activities will be at night, you could signal to each other above the scrub without giving your exact positions away to watching Arabs. There will be strict discipline, of course, but I intend to make each enlisted man a non-commissioned officer, with the usual advancement in privilege.
I'll go, sir.
Call out. With the advancement in privilege, will go the advancement in pay.
Oh, I'll go, sir.
Call out.
Me too, sir.
Call out.
Help me, sir!
Well, Major, which is he?
Magician, I'm afraid.
Wingate began operations from Ain Harod on an approved basis, He started a school to train Jewish settlers in the art of making guerrilla warfare. There was stupefaction in GHQ and jubilation in the Jewish agency. From settlements all over Palestine, men were ordered by Haganah to volunteer for service. Soon, Wingate was in full gear. Only one thing was missing. One detail. He went to see his old friend, Emmanuel Walensky.
I have a job for you, Emmanuel.
Oh, not unusual for you, Captain.
My boys wear their working clothes when they go into action. Mm-hmm. But when they're in Ein Harod, they need something to remind them that they are a corps d'élite. We will not go to the expense of providing them with a full uniform, of course, but I have decided that they shall have a distinctive hat.
A hat?
Yes. The sign of a man of the Special Night Squadron of the SNS will be an Australian hat. And I want real hats. Hats from London. And soon.
He got his hats, and soon. The course of instruction began with the help of two junior British officers. It is now part of the handbook of training for the Israeli army.
This is a course for Jewish sergeants. It is to be known as the Soldier's Ten Commandments. 1. Know and love what you fight for. 2. Carry out every order of your commanding officer with speed and understanding. Accept his leadership with faith and don't ask permission to add your explanation to his words and instructions. 3. Use your equipment only in fulfillment of your duty and use it sparingly. 4. Abstain from brutality and cruelty.
We are not making war on the Arab nation, but on the Arab gangs. And towards the ordinary Arabs, we will abstain from cruelty and brutality. A coarse and savage man makes a bad soul.
Laziness, quarrelsomeness, and self-indulgence. Those are the vices of soldiers. The man who desires to drink the moment he gets thirsty. The man who becomes ill-tempered and stubborn when he is tired. The man whose self-restraint weakens when he endures physical effort. He is indeed a bad soldier.
For these theories, and for putting them into operation, Ord C. Wingate earned the DSO plus promotion to the rank of major. The Wingate Army fought when it could. It was no longer a waiting operation. At Daburiya, it overturned one of the most dangerous nests of Arab gangsters in Palestine. And attacks both upon the pipeline and the settlements, though they went on, were never quite as serious again. But there were reactions to the operation, which were to have serious repercussions for him. At the Colonial Office in London, questions were beginning to be asked about his work.
This man, a professional soldier, has been allowed to throw authority and caution out of the window.
Yes, he has.
Do you realize that the Arabs have placed a price of £1,000 on his head?
Mm-hmm.
They almost got him, too. He was wounded during a skirmish. Put him in the hospital.
Is it true that he is actually training Jews in the art of warfare? Actually training them to become even more belligerent than they already were?
He's deliberately going out and killing Arabs. Arabs whose friendship is most important for us to keep. I think we'd better have a talk with the Commander-in-Chief.
I understand General Wavell is very close to him.
General Wavell departs tomorrow. General Haining will be his replacement.
General Haining had at first acquiesced in the establishment of Ein Harod as a school for the SNS. Now he was beginning to have his doubts, something Major Wingate was at first unaware of, but not for long.
Dispatch for you, sir.
Leave it on the desk, Svee.
I think you'd better read it.
Oh?
Perhaps you'd like me to do it for you.
All right, if you like.
You're a fool to work so hard, Wingate. A man who suffered a wound like yours.
What do you suggest, Svee, that I stay in hospital? There are many things...
There are many things we will not be able to do without you. If you continue at this pace, I fear we shall have to do just that.
Read the dispatch and stop talking nonsense.
Memorandum to Major Ord C. Wingate. Subject, dispersal... Dispersal of all British personnel.
Let me have it.
Effective immediately.
All British personnel will be returned to their home bases. It is hereby ordered that the organization known as the Special Night Squadron will be abandoned without delay.
All British personnel?
Yes.
But General Wavell...
General Wavell is gone. He's been replaced by General Haining.
Wingate tried to see General Haining and ask for a reprieve, but he was refused an interview and, through channels, was forbidden even to return to Ein Harod. He groomed around Jerusalem and Haifa, well aware that he was being mocked and sneered at by practically every British officer in the command. He had one task which, fortunately, occupied his mind.
Dr. Weitzman would like you to prepare a paper of defense, Major. The time approaches when the white paper on Palestine will be issued. We're hopeful that it will grant us our independence.
You want me to prepare it?
Only you.
It should be prepared by a Jew, Emmanuel.
Where could we find a better Jew than you, Major?
So Wingate wrote a document called The Jewish State, Security and Defense, Transition Period, which is today one of the most treasured documents in the archives of Israel. He wrote it, certain that his military career was in danger, that an independent Jewish state was still some time away, but he wrote it nevertheless. And he was right, for the net result of his activity was dismissal. Before he went home, his beloved Jewish settlers in the special night squads threw him a farewell party.
I know, Major, that a farewell party should have music and laughter, but this is not exactly a celebration for us.
I know. Thank you, Emmanuel.
I'm glad you were able to come. We should have missed you more were we not permitted to say goodbye. Now we wait for just that, my friend.
What you have already left us is here. Tell us how we can preserve it.
Speak. Tell all of us, please.
I should like you to hear what my commanding officer has written on my report. It says, Ord C. Wingate is a good soldier, but so far as Palestine is concerned, he's a security risk. He cannot be trusted. He puts the interests of Jews before those of his own country. He should not be allowed in Palestine again. I'm sent away from you and from the country I love. I suppose you know why. It is because we are too great friends.
There's no such thing as too great a friend. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But my country disagrees. But I promise you I shall come back. And if I cannot do it the regular way, I shall return as a ma'apil, an illegal refugee. You ask me to tell you how to preserve what I've left you. There is but one way. When the state of Israel becomes a reality, make it work. For myself, I shall always preserve what you have given me.
Hold, people! Hold!
No. Let them see. Let them cheer each other. Let it become the Jewish national sport.
These were the last words Major Ord C. Wingate spoke to his beloved people. For he was to go on to other campaigns. Ethiopia, Burma, where he was to rise in rank to Major General, and at the age of 41, go down with his plane and crash to death in the Burma jungles. He was never to return. But before he left Palestine, he climbed the hills of Mount Tabor once again to look out at his cherished adopted land and say to himself, the words of the psalm he chanted when he arrived.
Shir hamalot beshuv Adonai et shivat Zion hayinu kecholmin. Az yimale sechok binu uleshonenu rina.
When the Lord turned upon the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. All around him was the land of the Bible, and it is a shining land. Eastward, it looks upon the sacred tomb of the Druzes and drops down the glassy waters of the Galilee and the discolored cliffs like decayed teeth on the Syrian shore. North is the Mount of the Beatitudes and the calm cone of Mount Hermon.
South is the hot shimmer of the Jordan Valley. And westward, the ground is rich and sprouting with corn as it rolls down toward the Mediterranean, past the well of Ein Harod, where Gideon is buried. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting His Excellency Abba Ibn, Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary to the United States and Israel's permanent representative at the United Nations, and author of the newly published book, Voice of Israel. Here is Abba Ibn.
This man beheld a vision, strove mightily for its realization, and passed from the scene before its radiance had begun to dawn. Yet Ord Wingate never doubted that Israel would arise in sublime fulfillment of historic destiny, nor that its rise would encounter fierce challenge and become the fruit of bitter contest. This was a turbulent spirit, a man of strife and of contention unto all the earth. But amidst all the struggle, his essential vision was one of peace in Zion. His conscience was aroused to bitter passion by the tidal wave of death and havoc which swept over the Jewish people before and during the Second World War. I recall him sitting there in glowering resentment amongst friends in London with Chaim Weizmann, or as I welcomed him in Cairo on his way to Quebec from his triumphs in Burma. Israel for him was redress for injustice. Israel was home for a people to be established within the Arab world, in which the Arab peoples had so broad and lavish a home. Israel was to be the center of dynamic and constructive purpose in a backward and stagnating Middle East. Israel was to be the citadel of freedom in an area where liberty had few other bulwarks. Israel, above all, was to be the literal fulfillment of that divine prophecy in which he had been nurtured. Then will I return the dispersed of my people and establish an ensign amongst the nations and gathered together the troubled of Judah from amongst all the tribes of the earth. He taught our youth to dream and labor and to fight for the fulfillment of this vision. And he fell, alas, too soon by the way. Today, as we enter our 10th summer, we are proud to feel that the brave ambitions which sustained his latter years have not proved false. For all time, the free people of Israel will number him amongst the righteous who, according to the Hebrew tradition, shall inherit the life to come.
Thank you, Abba Ibn. Our eternal light drama today, Gideon Goes to War, was written by Stephen Gethers and was based on the book of the same name by Leonard Mosley. It was presented in observance of the 9th anniversary of Israel Independence Day. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Alexander Skirby as Ord Wingate, Sam Gray as Walensky, Bert Cowlin as V, Bernard Lenro as General Wavell, William Podmore as the Colonel, Burford Hampton as the Major, Alastair Duncan as Peters, Alfred Shirley as Warren, and Bryna Rayburn as Mrs. Walensky. The narrator, Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.